Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we have a commissioned episode from Thomas McNeil. We are going to discuss our top five villains in the MCU. Movies only, that's the rules. All that and more of that we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And in our producer chair, we have the lovely Ashley Coffin. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
So good. So good.
I don't know if I can claim fantastic, but close.
That's good. That's all any of us can ask for, right? Close to fantastic?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like right next to it.
Fantastic adjacent.
You know, as long as I'm in the same room, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm excited to have Ashley on this because the commission was from Thomas McNeil, and I'll read it here. It's when we're between series and movies, it would be fun to do a top five villains. And I think that does sound fun. I think we've maybe even done it a long time ago, but it was we've had so many new villains since then. And we did make the controversial decision to stick with Feige approved villains. So the movies and basically Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision.
The movies and also, yeah, okay. The movies and also Falcon Winter Soldier and WandaVision.
Yeah.
It was easier to say movies only, but, you know, then again, I've only had series be Feige approved this year, which, right. You know, it still feels new.
And they kind of feel like movies.
Yeah, that's know? Fair.
It
that's
feels
fair.
Like it's all part of the same thing, which is the goal, the dream. Dream we've dreamed a million times.
We figured with a discussion on villains, who better to ask about villains than Ashley Coffin?
That is true. That is true.
Right in my wheelhouse.
Villains are her favorite thing.
And what I'm excited about is we've done this many times, these kinds of top five lists with just the two of us, but that's just two people kind of inputting their data. I'm excited to have three people and we'll see how many more crossovers there are. You know, when we calculate our definitive list at the end, it'll be a more complicated procedure. And I'm excited about it.
The algorithm is going to go nuts.
It's going to go nuts, man. It's going to go nuts. Yeah, build a bot for us real fast.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so.
I thought about it. I really did. I thought about it. I was like,
It'll only take me 10 minutes. Compute
all of these things.
Oh,
I can probably slap something together real quick.
Yeah, I'm sure you could. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to throw in. We're going to start at our number fives, go across the panel. And if someone says one that is from further up your list, feel free to go ahead and talk about it at the same time. So we don't talk about the same villain 16 times. But I guess I'll give a start. My number five top villain is going to be Vulture. Adrian Toomes.
Ooh.
It's a good one.
I feel like it's a real good one.
Ooh,
I feel like it's a real good one. The scene in the car.
He's on my list.
Oh, is he?
Uh-oh. He's not on mine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, where you got him on your list?
He's on my list.
Did I steal your thunder big time?
Is he your number one?
Yep, he's my number one.
He's your number one? Wow.
Yeah, he's my number one.
This is awkward.
All right. Well,
this
hey.
Is so awkward. This we're supposed so to start awkward. At five, not one? Oh, shit.
Yeah,
let me hold on. Let me flip it. He's also my number five.
No, that's great. I honestly thought he was my kind of wild card. I thought he was one of the ones that, like, no one's going to have Vulture on their list. Because there's ones that we always call out as the top villains. But once you get past, like, the top two or three, it's like, who's on the list, you know? And I like it. I like it. Well, since you have him as your number one, justify it. What do you love about Vulture?
Yeah. Adrian Toomes is basically what any of us could become. Like, you know, I'll do anything for my family kind of thing. As long as my family is taken care of, I'll do anything that I need to. And it doesn't matter, you know, like if that's all he knows is that life, then, you know, going a little farther and a little farther. And then a little farther, and where was the line? Where was the line that he actually became a villain? Like, at what point did he do these things that made him become a villain? Has he killed anybody? Yes, he killed one of his bad people. But he wasn't trying to kill him.
That's true.
At that moment, he was trying, he was trying to do something else, and he was like, "Ah, well, I guess it's fine."
Whoops! You
know, it got the point across. The message has been delivered.
Yeah, it's clear that he sells these weapons to people who do kill people. He puts these weapons on the street. Like, he's an arms dealer. Like, he's pretty far down the road, honestly. But I agree with you. Like, his motivations are super sympathetic.
Right. And that's why I like him as my number one, because he's one of those guys that could have been any of us, you know?
I hear that.
Like, he represents the worst in us. He's basically our Frank Castle, but in a, you know, a little bit farther.
I like it. Well, how about you, Ash? What is your number five?
My number five is definitely Agatha Harkness.
Nice.
I just really enjoyed everything she did with, you know, the character. Evil was right. She tortured children.
Number four. So I guess good. You stole my thunder on that one, but I got her as my number four. Yeah. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Catherine Hahn just brought that character to life, and she was so wickedly awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
100%. I
agree.
I just could not put the one Marvel character who has a musical break. I could not put her on my list. Like, that villain, her villain turn, even though we all expected it from the trailers, like, her villain turn is one of the most surprising and, like, exciting moments in all of it. Like, I just love her villain turn. The Agatha All Along song is amazing, and like, and I think she has a future. She has places to go with her character still. And yeah, as you said, Catherine Hahn absolutely kills it as Agatha. So she is my number four. You're number five. I dig it.
Nice.
I guess she's not on your list, Jeff.
L.E. Waters in the chat says, regardless of who is the best villain, Catherine Hahn is the best villain performance.
Yes, for what she does, she is. But I think there are other villains who, like, nail other performances in different ways. Like, for the over-the-top villain that she is, and the dancing and singing and performing that way, it's just so much fun. But I feel like my number one is still my favorite performance, probably. But I won't get there yet.
Oh, I know. I know exactly who your number one is.
Do you now?
All right. Yes, of course I do. I've talked to you about this shit for 6.5 years. Like, almost seven. Like,
some things
I know
don't
who
change.
Your number one is.
I'm not shocked that your number one was Vulture, but I would not have called it.
Okay, okay.
What's your number five, Jeff?
My number five is a tie. It's a tie between...
Thems ain't the rules.
I know, but I guess shift my... No, because you took my number one, so now I get to talk about an extra one.
Well, I was going to give us all some honorable mentions after we get to number two. Just do some honorable mentions.
Okay. I'll keep one of these as an honorable mention then. Okay. My number five is Emil Blonsky. Abomination.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Ooh. Very nice. I have him as an honorable mention. I couldn't make him on my list, even though I love him so much.
Yeah.
I had him as my honorable mention. Yep. I don't know if that's the one you were thinking it would have.
No, that's not your number one. I know your number one. Your number one is my number two.
Okay.
Emil Blonsky, though, he's just such a... He's so menacing, and again, like, I really like those villains that are like, this could have been me. Like, you know, Blonsky, like, makes sense. The way that his turn to, you know, get more power because I'm getting old and my body's not quite working, like, let me take this serum so that I get a little stronger, take this to get a little stronger, do this to get a little more power, oh, I accidentally turned into Abomination. Like,
yeah.
And he's okay with that. Like, he owns it the whole time. It wasn't like he turned into Abomination and was just like, oh, I'm going to kill the doctor who did this crap to me. Or like, how dare you do this to me? He was just like, yeah, I'm the strongest. Boy, give me that Hulk, bitch. Come on, let's do this. Like, he wanted to be stronger, and he got what he wanted. And I love that he got to own that.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think that he's one of the best villains for that reason. Like, he's just having so much fun with it. And like, a case could even be made that he's not even a villain for most of that film. He's just a soldier. and he's being hired to stop a thing that he thinks is this destructive force. He's being told by the military that this thing is going to, you know, kill people and harm people, and he's being sent out on his, you know, mercenary job, and he's just doing his job. Now, his seeking of power, though, that's what I love about him. He's just like such a power seeker. And like, that's, he just, he has a simple, but like interesting, well-defined character, and it makes for a really fun time to watch him.
Tim Roth's a psychopath, so he plays it perfectly.
Exactly.
It's not acting, it's just...
No, he's just the most perfect psychopath.
I completely agree. Tim Roth, I mean, Tim Roth makes that character.
He's the best, yeah.
Tim Roth is freaking awesome.
Yep.
I absolutely love him.
Yep.
Okay. So I guess, so we're back to me. We got my number four out. So Ashley, what's your number four?
My number four is Hela.
Ooh.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Good choice.
When you think about her, like, as a character, like, the things she can do is just fillet you with rocks, like, rock spikes or whatever that is. Like, she just takes everybody out. She keeps getting stronger, like, at the end when she makes all the stuff rise up. But, like, she is very powerful and would have been a bigger problem.
Yeah.
They couldn't beat her. They had to cause Ragnarok to stop her. Mm-hmm. That is a pretty big deal.
Yeah,
for she's sure. a big deal. She's and plus, I just like deal. The way she carries herself.
Oh my God, yes, Kate Blanchett.
What a goddess! Role,
like, she just ate the scenery whole. Mm-hmm. Didn't chew on it; just swallowed it. The whole thing.
The funny thing is, like, my immediate reaction to Hela, and the reason she's not on my list is because I don't connect with Hela. Like, I just don't feel that. I feel a connection with Hela. Most of mine are villains that I can understand and feel connection with, and somehow though. Ashley, I like, see that.
I see myself as, like, if exactly. I was in the MCU, I would be Hela. Like, the outfit, everything, the hair with the green in it. I was like, oh, it's just me with a fabulous smoke eye. It's coming out here to wreck shop.
That is absolutely what I was saying.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I totally get that, why that would be your number four. Like, she's got to make your list. You are Hela. I get it. I love it.
Yeah.
It makes so much sense now. I didn't see it before.
This domination and Neil.
Hey, we don't kink shame around here.
Yep.
What do you got, Jeff? What is your number four?
I was gonna go with one of the ladies as well. Ghost is on mine as number four.
Ooh, your list
Ava
is shaping
from
up to
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Your list is like all deep cuts, I feel like. Not that they're not great characters and wonderful, like, deserve to be on the list, but, like, I don't know. They're all three so far. We got your Vulture, Ghost, and Abomination. Not ones that are often in that conversation, you know?
Yeah. Well, I figure with Ghost, she's more... She's got that, like, I want to heal myself. I want to not feel this, like... physically wrenching pain all the time, and I'm going to do the things that I need to do to achieve that. And like, seeing her do that, and seeing, like, when her story comes out as the, like, you know, how she got to the point that she is and what she's trying to do to kind of not have that be her thing anymore, like, Ghost is so sympathetic in that moment, and she's so likable whenever, like, when she wakes up Scott and he's sitting there like, hey, where am I? And she's like, oh, hey, you know, you're here with me. Like, she's so likable right there, but then she turns into an ass when she wakes everybody else up. But, like, they're like, she's likable in that moment. And then by extension, like, her working with,
Foster.
Jeez. Thank you. When she's working with Bill Foster and, like, by extension kind of, like, is kept in line and, like, kind of doesn't, like, even though he's like, you know, if you hurt that little girl, I won't help you. Like, she was willing to, but because she still took his counsel, I think is the thing that makes me like her more, is that she still took his counsel. He was trying to do right by her, but also not do terribly bad things. And she was able to take that advice and be like, okay, I get it. I won't hurt the little girl. We'll do it your way. You know, you're the one helping me, and I have to stay true to that. And, like, that's what makes me like her. Mm-hmm. Just a whole mm-hmm. lot.
Yeah. I enjoy her character a lot in the, you know, we only have the one appearance and, I don't know. Yeah. I feel like so far we don't know enough about her for her to make my list, but like, I get it. I dig her a lot. And yeah. again, mm-hmm. it's another character. They've done such a good job in the last couple phases of not making mustache twirlers. Like everyone is understandable yeah. where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And Ghost is another example of that. Also because it's have more female characters, yeah, yeah. less mustaches.
Yeah. Yeah. It was more she had to twirl
not
her
gonna
locks,
go there.
Right.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I guess I'll get to my number three. My number three is Zemo.
So. Oh, that's Zemo. My number one.
Zemo. You got him as number one?
Yeah, that my Civil War Zemo is my number one.
Civil War Zemo. Interesting. I love him. But I will admit, it's Falcon Winter Soldier that made me put him up top, you know?
Well, that makes him a more likable character. If we're talking about the villainism, like, he destroyed the Avengers worse than any other True. Villain did. Like, it was more psychological, and that's what gets me about, like, the what he did caused all the problems. It caused Thanos. They weren't together. Like, there was a lot that he did that really, you know, look at Steve and Cap. He single-handedly dismembered the entire team.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And it's a really great point. I think, like, from just, it's interesting, we said best villain, top five villains. So, like, what does that mean? And I think, like, me and Jeff are both going, well, Jeff particularly is going with, like, what he can connect with most. I kind of look at him like, who's the most fun to watch for me? Like, that's a lot of what my list is. And yours is, who's the most villainous, which I think is absolutely, it's just interesting. We all interpret it a little different, but like, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. And it's cool. Totally rad that, yeah, he is absolutely, one of the most villainous. For me, it's just, again, like, it's another villain that is just a blast to watch. He cracked me up in Falcon Winter Soldier. Not so much in Civil War because he's
he's sads.
Yeah, he's so sad. And when you find out in Falcon Winter Soldier that he's a Baron, and like, you know, he's a Baron from comics, but like, when you find out what that really means, that he has a private jet and a butler, and he like goes to clubs, and like, he's like more of a real life what a Baron would be. That's so funny and so well done and so good. Yeah. And like, he can have great philosophical discussions with Sam about like, you know, racial inequality, but he can also like trick little children into, you know, giving up the terrorist cells. Like, he's just like so manipulative, and like, you can see him just pulling the strings and like testing people and learning their weaknesses, and he's just a blast. Just so much fun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep. Yep.
What's your number three, Ash?
We're on me again. I have Loki as my number three.
Ooh, good choice.
Loki
good choice.
Is your number three.
Okay. Yeah. Because Loki, he was a problem. He was consistently a problem. He was one of the only main villains in the earlier movies that was like actually a villain and did, you know, kill people and did pretty messed up stuff, but he's number three because he always could kind of be brought back. You see that little glimmer of hope in there that you can change him. I get it, Thor. I try to fix it too.
I was thinking about him today because we're talking about covering him. Our next episode is going to be covering Loki and like a deep dive on Loki, and like the idea of Thor, the way that Thor and Loki think about humans. I think Loki looks at Thor like we look at vegetarians. Like, he sees us as a lower form of life for to do his bidding. You know what I mean? And Thor, like, actually wants to care for humans. And I just, like, think right. that, like, I started thinking about it that way. I was like, oh, yeah, that's probably how Loki thinks of Thor as, like, oh, you're being so kind to the humans. Like, what value do they have? Like, give me a human burger, you know?
Oh, my God.
I don't...
Not literally.
I don't like the analogy.
Were you just...
I was
were you just eating
until
a cheeseburger?
Came up. I want an
looked
American
like you were eating a slider.
I feel like it's an apt. Yeah, yeah. I'd like a human slider, please. That makes it grosser. Human sliders.
What
grosser.
Do they eat in Asgard?
Isn't that a baseball player?
That's, yeah, sure. It's a one of the actions they can take.
Oh my.
Okay.
I want an American cheeseburger means a whole different thing now. Like now it's a cheeseburger made from Americans.
Ew.
All right. I didn't mean to get us to a gross place. Sorry. I was just trying to point out.
You took us to a real dark Loki spot, man.
But I gotta say Loki is my number two.
Oh, okay.
So
good deal.
So that's my number two. I got basically my whole list and Jeff thinks he has my top. So whatever.
I do.
Whatever.
And well, that brings us to you, Jeffrey. What's your number three?
My number three, like your list, Matt, is just really fun to watch. I put him on the list just because he's fun to watch and no other reason. And I would have to say number three is Ulysses Klaw.
I knew that's where you were going. I knew it. I dig it.
Yep.
That's a good call.
It's fun.
He chews so much scenery and he is so fun. Like his accent is over the top. His like what he does whenever he like he gets his arm cut off just goes like beyond crazy. Like and watching him in Black Panther just kind of like, you know, running around like an asshole, basically. He's just so fun all the time. And
yeah.
Like even like in Black Panther, when you know like he's not the main villain, like there's no way he can be because he's just so crazy. In Age of Ultron, he's not the main villain, but he is a bad guy because like he's too out there. And I love that he gets to be this crazy character because he's on the fringe of being the main villain like all the time. He just gets to be in the background like poking all of the bears. And he does.
Bear poker.
So, bear poker.
Is Klaw on anybody else's list?
No.
No. No, he didn't make my list.
Okay.
He's a great...
I have a very unique list.
You do, and I dig it a lot. You have a great list. I think that Klaw belongs on any list of... In the discussion, for sure, because he's so much fun. And like fun in a way that it is rare for these villains. Mm-hmm. But I am, and he's one of the ones that I'm so sad, and I think they went too soon. Like I really think he should have stuck around for a few more movies because he was just played to perfection, and his like just unhinged, sort of wild-eyed craziness was so much fun, just so much fun.
Yep, that's Andy Serkis is a legend.
Oh, yeah.
Just. In character acting. He's so good.
100%.
BVK says in the chat, has anyone heard Klaw's mixtape?
No.
No?
Like, is that a thing? Please explain that to us, BVK, in detail, and we will absolutely... I'd love to hear that. While he's pulling that... Let's see, that was your... Jeff, that was your three?
That was my number three.
Okay, now we're to my two... Which is Loki. So we've already gone over that. Ash, what is your number two?
My number two is Ultron.
Ooh. Please.
Ultron. Yeah.
Elaborate. Why do you feel Ultron?
Sticking with my villainry, I feel like he caused the like very beginning of the mistrust within the team. Like even though the team came out of that movie kind of closer together, it seemed like he still kind of planted the initial seeds of like the Tony and, you know, the background, Tony and Banner going behind everybody's back, you know, nobody talking to each other. Like their group was, you know, very separated in that movie because of Ultron. And then he almost dropped a giant crater and killed everybody on Earth. So that was pretty bad too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was a big problem.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Almost took out the Avengers, almost took out Earth, for that matter. Yeah. So, yeah.
If they didn't have Scarlet Witch, probably at that point, I don't think they would have been able to stop him, because keeping all of those robots away from that thing while being able to evacuate the city at the same time and then try to figure out how to blow up the rock, it was just, it's a little bit much.
Yeah.
It was a good plan. Ultron had a good plan.
It's a touch extra.
A really good plan to destroy humanity.
Yeah.
I like it.
If only he hadn't tried to make himself a different body and get his evil plan out into the world.
If he had become the Vision, that would have been a big problem.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, it would have.
For sure. He would not. I don't know that they could have taken down the fully vibraniumized version of that vision.
The Vision version of Ultron.
That version of Vision.
Yeah, that's always so hard to say. They really shot themselves in the foot by giving a robotic character the name of Vision, because we're always going to be saying Vision version of Vision.
And then they created multiple versions of Vision now.
Yeah, it's nuts. What are they thinking over there?
They're not thinking about us. Not at all.
Not even a little. No, I'm just joking. They definitely are. So I'm guessing I know your number two, Jeff. If you're correct, what is your number two and that you think is my number one?
My number two that I am 99.999% certain is your number one is Killmonger.
You are correct, sir.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
I know.
Yeah.
Yep. I knew Killmonger was going to be your number one just because he's so awesome, just in general. Like, he wins. Mm-hmm. He wins, you know? He wins the moral argument. And he's so relatable as far as, like, you know, this person who has had a struggle that we all, that we've seen, you know? that like, even if we don't... Even if we can't say that we have felt it, we at least have experienced the the outcome of it, or the fallout from that experience. You know, especially in the past year.
Yeah. But even when this movie came out, it was before a lot of the stuff that we've experienced in the last year has been brought to surface.
I mean,
I'm not saying it's
if we're being real, like, Black Lives Matter has been going on for, what, at least 5, 6, 7 years now?
No, I'm not saying that...
Like, it's definitely before the George Floyd stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm referencing this specific thing you said, which was the last year. I'm saying, like, you know, the movie came out before the last year.
Yeah, I said, like, especially within the last year.
Exactly. Like, you think about, like, how much that movement resonated with so many of us, and so many of us woke up to things we hadn't seen before, at least not in the same way. And, like, how even more meaningful of a character he is now. And yeah, you're right. He wins the moral argument. I absolutely love him. And that's when someone said earlier that Catherine Hahn was the best performance. I love Catherine Hahn for what she does with that performance. But I mean, Michael B. Jordan is one of my favorite actors. And he just slays as Killmonger. He's fun to watch. When he walks in that room, he's like, "Sup, Auntie?" Yep. Just like,
"What's up, Auntie?"
Just like the way he interacts with people, and the way he's so brash and fun to watch, but also brutal, so brutal. And again, he almost takes over Wakanda. Like, that's huge, you know. That, like, he almost gets the seat of power of one of those powerful countries. He's a huge villain. Amazing in that movie. I really do hope we get him back in some form at some point, even though I know make death matter, but man, I want him back. He's so good. He's just so good.
Just not his.
Yeah,
like, you can make death matter, but, like, give me this one back.
That's how I feel about basically everyone that dies.
Not here.
Same thing with Claw. I'm like, make death matter, but Claw, you know, bring Claw back. He's so good.
He was fun. Why'd you have to do that to him?
Yeah. Why?
I think with the fun that Michael B. Jordan has with Killmonger, one of the things that I know that you have mentioned, and I recently thought of this, and it circles back in my mind every, like, week or couple of weeks or so, as when T'Challa is walking up to the, like, up to the mountain, and he's like, "N'Daka!" And then he's just like, "What's up?"
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Like, when Michael B. Jordan is just like, "What's up?"
Yeah, it's
like,
just...
He's so irreverent in that moment.
He has no reverence for their world, which I have a real respect for, like, throwing off tradition and, like, having no respect for what came before. Mm-hmm. I do. I love that kind of character. It hits a note with me. And I love him for that.
Kind of surrounding that movie, there's also the soundtrack of that movie is just amazing. Mm-hmm. Just incredible the whole way through.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Like it's a perfect blend. Maybe that's something we need to talk about later is you know, the top soundtracks of the MCU. Have we already talked about that? I feel like we have.
I don't think we've talked about that specifically.
I don't think so, but I'd be down for that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That is all. I've got the final number calculated here based on our three things. What are our top five as a group?
We need to talk about honorable mentions, though, right?
Like yeah, people that's what I was about to say. Yeah,
that were good, that were close.
Yeah. Who?
Oh, sorry.
That's what I was about to say. Is before I name those, let's
just lead it.
Throw out those honorable mentions. I'd like to throw out first off one that has not been mentioned: Justin Hammer. I just talking about fun to watch. Oh man, he's fun to watch.
Oh, Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell in any role is fun to watch.
Yeah, I love him.
I think we're going to get him back. And if we could get him and Tim Roth on the screen together, my dreams would be made. Such good actors. I love them in everything. And they're in a movie called Mr. Right together. And it is mwah, hitman romantic comedy. Highly recommend.
Yeah. It's funny.
So freaking good. Okay.
Yeah. I'm looking through the
Rolodex Thanos.
Of movies. Like,
I'm going to throw Thanos out there. He was a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
He's a huge problem.
He's a teensy one.
I'm surprised he didn't make any of the lists, honestly.
Who was your number one, Ashley? Was Zemo?
Yeah, Civil War Zemo.
Okay. Civil War Zemo. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're talking about characters who, like, achieve the goal of tearing the Avengers apart, Thanos is up there.
Oh, yeah.
But they were already torn apart before Thanos got there.
Power levels and impact, I think, like, Thanos is an obvious choice. I do. But, like, I he's not my favorite guy to watch. I don't have the most fun watching him. And I don't relate to him. Even though I understand where he's coming from, I don't relate to him. So that's why he didn't make my list, because that's kind of where my list was coming from.
You know, I kind of had the same outlook on Thanos. It's like, I feel like Thanos was like, you know, he was great for being that, what's the term?
The you know, foil.
Kind of like the Viltrumite in Invincible.
I've not finished that show. I'm watching, like, the end tonight. Please don't tell me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Please don't tell me the end of Invincible. I'm literally watching the last episode tonight.
Okay, he's...
Use words I know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, easy.
Well, okay. So the alien that comes to Earth and, like...
You're going
to
tell me the end of Invincible,
aren't you?
Stop it. You're telling me the end of Invincible, aren't you?
I'm just...
Are you telling me a story? Because I'm not
honorable
listening.
Honorable mention of villains is obviously Tony Stark.
Oh, yeah.
Good point.
Good point. That's a good one.
He's kind of the biggest villain in the MCU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are their worst enemies.
Another one I almost made my list just because their powers are so much fun. And, like, again, just so much fun to watch is Mysterio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mysterio was fun to watch.
Yeah. Super fun to watch. Super kooky. And then the powers, those scenes, those Mysterio scenes are so cool. When he's, like, actually fighting Spider-Man with his holographic powers.
It's the visual of it.
What about Ronan?
I feel like Ronan's pretty mustache twirly.
If he had gone with the dance off, I'd be more on board with Ronan.
And with that, I think that wraps.
I think
our,
that's good.
I got one more.
All right, what's your last honorable?
I got one more. He was tied for my number five. It was the Tinkerer.
Ooh,
the guy who made all of Adrian Toomes' machines and stuff. Like, you knew he was doing things for eventually bad purposes. Like, he was making those weapons, but, like, he was only driven by, like, what can I do? Like, you know, what can I make this do? It was curiosity more than anything that drove him. And, like, I feel that. I feel that real deep in my core. I feel that curiosity could well accidentally make Skynet.
Oh, yeah.
With me.
With Oops. You, specifically.
I'm sorry.
Fair.
Yeah, like, I might accidentally make Skynet because I'm just like, let's see what I can do with AI.
Yeah. That's anyway. That's cool. That's cool. I like it. Okay, so our top five from bottom to top.
Our collective top five
based on our numbers here that we and our positions in the list that we gave them. Number five is Ultron. Ultron makes it to number five. Okay. All right.
Woo.
Number four, we have Vulture.
Okay.
That's a solid, solid pick.
Okay.
Number three, we have Loki.
Yeah.
Solid play.
That was my number three.
Yeah. Number two, we have Zemo, which made a couple of our list. That's a great, great villain. And number one
is obviously Killmonger
because he made close to the top on a couple lists. That was a fun and interesting one because we all had such different lists. We often talk about the rubric we're going to use, and sometimes we'll go, sorry, the rubric. I meant to enunciate the T.
we're gonna get hate mail again.
Mm-hmm. Nah, they give nothing but loving mail about that.
You say one thing wrong and everybody's demanding an apology. Cancel culture's over. We're not doing it.
We're not.
You're sure nobody's gonna cancel me for rubriced?
No, I'm saying the words they pick. They're just like, we don't like that you did this and we want you to apologize. It's like, I understand that. I'm sorry that you feel that way. That's my favorite new thing.
That's my apology.
I'm sorry.
I'm like, sorry. Well, why?
I'm not exactly apologizing because I'm not sorry. No.
Right. Like, oh, I'm sorry that you can't understand that I also have feelings.
And we're people. We do, you know, you make mistakes, you educate, and then we all move on with our day.
What I was going to say is we often look at these rubrics and we go like, give them points for this and points for that and points for this. But it's kind of funny because we all three had different lists based on like relatability. Jeff's was relatability. Mine was fun to watch and yours was power level. So it actually sort of like balanced the list out in itself, you know, like
it was cool.
Made a list that balanced itself.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot. All right, guys. Good time. By the way, we are going to be, I wanted to mention something, as a plug, actually as a sort of announcement/plug thing, I guess.
Announcement/plug.
I am trying to put this thing together, and I've talked about it a little bit in this Stranded Panda chat, and it is it's called, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of house concerts, but I had this idea. Basically, house concerts are where you go from city to city and you do a concert in someone's home, right? And a lot of people do this like as a way of touring. It's a way of like connecting with people on a like play. It's almost like what you do is you like kind of throw a dinner party for your friends. They come over, you like feed them, and then a musician plays in your living room and does like a little show. That's what a house concert is. Well, I had the idea because I do that, but I also do all this geeky stuff to do something I'm going to call house cons. Short for concert, but also short for con, right? Like a geeky con. So
convention.
My idea is to do house cons this summer, probably in August or September, and I'm going to go out and we're going to do a night where there's movie clips and trivia playing as people arrive. Then I play a show, like a little short, like 45 minute set of music. And then we have this idea that we kind of came up with together in this Stranded Panda chat for what I'm calling popcorn panels, where we draw a idea from a hat for discussion and then take volunteers and then basically do like a 5-minute podcast about it, which I think sounds super fun. I kind of want to do that on Twitch, actually, like let people into the Zoom that volunteer to be in it or whatever. I think that sounds really fun. Anyway,
okay.
Popcorn panels, and then I also am going to have like all the setup to do karaokeing or DJing, and possibly like some board games. So like the end of the night, you could either end it with like nice board games or party time. So like, depending on your the kind of house con you would want to put on. So I don't know. It's an idea that I have. So if you're interested in it, if you're interested in having a house concert in your house. Oh, and the idea is everyone come and encourage your friends to wear cosplay. They can like, people haven't gotten to cosplay lately because we've all been trapped in our houses. So everybody can go out and they can cosplay, and you can have like a geek party at your house where movies, trivia, popcorn panels, live music, and then DJing or board gaming. Anyway, so that's what I'm trying to put on. I'll be mentioning it over the next few weeks because I want to see what kind of interest there is out there. Probably going to do it in August or September. If you're interested, go to strandedpanda.com/housecons. That's HOUSECONS. Just fill out the little form. Let me know you're interested. And I'm going to start putting it together. And it should be a really, really fun time. And basically, it just like, I'll be like selling merch and t-shirts and stuff at the house cons. And that's how I'll make money kind of going across the country, but possibly even international. Cause I know we have a lot of pandas overseas. So if we get a few pandas together that want me to come, I can hop over the pond and go to in England or whatever and do a few shows like that. It's just sounds like a blast to me. So if you're interested, go to strandedpanda.com/housecons. Yeah, that's the thing. You guys got anything you want to mention or plug before we get out of here?
No, good. Just the usual.
Just the usual.
We're doing The Conjuring on Avengers Assembles.
Yes, we are.
Getting ready for the new one this Friday. So join us for that. That's been fun and terrifying.
You made me watch The Conjuring and I'm mad at you.
Okay. That seems rude.
No, I really didn't warn him.
She didn't warn me how scary they were. She was like, oh, I love these movies. And I was like, oh, well, if you're that much passionate about it, we could probably do them on Bingers. And she's like, yeah, let's do it. And she didn't go like, oh, by the way, they're like the scariest movies and you should be scared since you don't like horror movies. And you're really sensitive to horror movies.
Like, get ready because you're about to get wrecked.
I'm going to have nightmares tonight is the point.
It's a lot. It's a lot to take in one day, but we did it.
We did it. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.